Baptist Church in Hamry, Mississippi. I don't remember, sometime last month. I can't keep up. Time happens so fast. I found out the older you get, the faster it goes. Some of y'all can tell me so much about that, but I can't keep up anymore. But anyway, through some different circumstances, we had a privilege to go and help another missionary out, and some other preachers was helping, and some pastors and all was helping, and we had to go spend several days in this little town in Georgia where this preacher lived. Was helping him work on his house a little bit. And you say, you know about that stuff? No, I was a furniture mover. I'm just a worker, just a laborer. They called and said, the pastor called and said, are you available on these dates? And I thought he's going to call me to come do a missions meeting. I said, yeah, I'm available. And he said, good, I need to move some furniture around, need some muscle. So I said, yeah, well, I'll be there, no problem. So they'd found a church with a place like this, you know, to put us up and all. And then he had lined up for me to preach at that church on Wednesday night. And I had never been to that church before, so I didn't know that pastor. But when he told that pastor who I was, that pastor said he believes he met me 30 years ago. And I do not remember that pastor, but he remembers me, says he met me 30 years ago. And he said, I always reminded him of Earl Hughes, which if y'all didn't know him, I took that as a compliment, amen. But he says, and I remember this service, that preacher had to be there because you couldn't have known this had you not been in that service. He said, didn't Brother Hughes sing that old song about when the tribulation enters, I'll be gone, and you jumped up there and helped him sing? And I said, yeah. I said, that was always just a dream that I had to help to sing with Earl Hughes, that song, I'll Be Gone. And I said all that to say this. Let me say this. Thank you all so much for having this place over here and providing it for us. And thank you for the lodging and the food. Man, the food around here just gets better and better and better. If it keeps on getting better, I don't know what we'll do. But praise the Lord for it. Thank y'all for just working and making all this happen and feeding us and taking such good care of us. And thank you for providing this place. We're always glad to get to be here in church with you all. And Renee says that she's got a memory showed up. And we were here at this church 5 years ago today. It was during a missions meeting. And I preached on Saturday and preached on Sunday a little bit. And then we stayed on Monday and flooded Amory with gospel tracts 5 years ago. But that's something. I can't believe that's been that long ago. But anyway, thank you so very much. It's always a blessing for us to be here. But that preacher got me to thinking about this song. I'd like to sing it today. When the tribulation enters, I'll be gone. And I don't know if I got all these words right or not. There's different, you know, versions of it floating around. When this world begins to rock, infidels and skeptics mock, there's a time of awful anguish coming on. Oh, what groans and bitter pain when the Antichrist shall reign. When the tribulation enters, I'll be gone. I'll be gone. Yes, I'll be gone. When the tribulation enters, I'll be gone. Soon the trumpet loud shall sound. With a shout, I'll leave the ground. When the tribulation enters, I'll be gone. When the earthquakes everywhere and the world is in despair, there are pestilence and famines all around. Christ is coming soon to claim all who suffer for His name. When the tribulation enters, I'll be gone. When the Antichrist shall reign, all must have his mark or name. For without it, you can neither sell nor buy. Signs and wonders he will do, call down fire from heaven too. It is either worship him or you must die. But I'll be gone, yes, I'll be gone. When the tribulation enters, I'll be gone. Soon the trumpet loud shall sound. With a shout, I'll leave the ground. When the tribulation enters, I'll be gone. Foolish virgins then will find they have here been left behind. with their empty vessels and their lamps so dim. They awoke themselves to try for their lamps some oil to buy, but the bridegroom's come and we have gone with him. But we'll be back, yes, we'll be back. When the tribulation's over, we'll be back. We may go most any day, but we're coming back to stay. When the tribulation's over, we'll be back. Amen, amen. How about this? I promise you one thing. I'm not planning on preaching long at all. I got 2 points left, or maybe three, out of that. And I done gave you all the introduction and all that. So I'll just be able to jump right in and pick up where I left off this morning. So I'm just in a singing mood this afternoon. Amen. I guess it's keeping me awake. But my wife and I are very privileged to have met a few people along our life's journey. And a matter of fact, my son preached this morning at the church where this lady is a member at. And she's wrote nearly 1,000 gospel songs. Most of them are not known. But I'm telling you, they are glorious and biblical. Some of her songs have gotten on because some big singer or group picked them up and recorded them with her permission. But most of her songs, she gets them by listening to the preacher preach. Sometimes she'll hear an evangelist preach and God will just work in her heart and she'll just start writing and she knows how to pick out notes on the pen, and she's wrote about 1,000 songs. And she wrote this simple song right here that just says, "It's by grace, it's through faith." And I hope this will be a blessing to you, and then we'll preach and get out of the way, all right? You say you're a good man, your debts you pay, thinking that will help you come judgment day. But it's by grace, it's through faith. You've been a good neighbor, surely that will do, counting on your good works to get you through. But it's by grace, it's through faith. It's by grace, it's through faith that we enter in. Only by Jesus' blood, heaven you will win. And yonder when I'm walking on the street of gold, I'll still be telling there what you I have told, that it's by grace, it's through faith. You say you've joined the church and you've been baptized. Still there's something missing. You must realize that it's by grace, it's through faith. Hoping that your good works, when placed on the scales, will outweigh the bad, but friend, that will fail. For it's by grace, it's through faith. It's by grace, it's through faith that we enter in. Only by Jesus' blood, heaven you will win. Yonder when I'm walking on the street of gold, I'll still be telling there what you I have told, that it's by grace, it's through faith. It's by grace, it's through faith. Amen. Miss Wilma does a good job writing songs. Amen. That was just pure Bible gospel, wasn't it? And so I hope that was a blessing to you. All right, I'd like to go back. Did I get that microphone flipped right? Is it? It's not. It okay, all right. Thank you very much. And so I know I saw the light this morning, then I didn't see the light, and I didn't know if I had it flipped right or wrong. But anyways, he says we're okay. So Acts chapter number 26. And there in verse 28, and Acts chapter 26, and verse number 28, the Bible said, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And we begin to look at that on this morning. That word persuade means to convince, to influence, to win over to a certain belief or whatever it is. And so Paul had been convinced that he was lost. He'd been convinced to become a Christian. He had been persuaded. And now he's trying to persuade everyone else that they need to become a Christian. And though you may have some things you could mention that might not have been true in everyone's life, there are some things that God has used down through the years over and over and over again to persuade people that they need Him and to come to Him. He used them in Paul's life. He used them in my life and your life if you've been persuaded to become a Christian. What persuaded me to become a Christian? And so we saw earlier today, we saw that God uses His people to persuade others to become a Christian. And I want to look back at that here in just a little while and show you something else about it. But He also uses the preaching of the Word of God to persuade people to become a Christian. Matter of fact, you can say what you want. Bottom line is, though, there's no sinner ever been saved apart from God's Word. Amen. There is no salvation apart from the Word of God. I can say that about the next statement, the next thing I'd like to bring up. What persuaded me to be a Christian, not only the people of God and the preaching of the Word of God, but I'd like to say the pleading of the Holy Spirit of God. The pleading of the Holy Spirit of God. You say, now, did you say which one of these was more important? No, I said I couldn't tell you which one was more important. They all work together. God may use different things in different people's lives to plant seeds, but there's some things He uses in the life of every sinner to persuade them to become a Christian. And in your life, if you're a Christian today, He used one or more of His people. He used His Word and He used the pleading of His Spirit. Amen. Jesus told His disciples over in John chapter number 16 and verses 7, 8, and 9. He said, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will. Jesus said, I'm going back to the Father. I'm going to send you another Comforter. And here's what He's going to do when He comes. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And you say, what persuaded you to become a Christian? The Holy Spirit persuaded me to become a Christian. I didn't know it at that time, but looking back on it now, it all makes sense. I might have told y'all this before, but what few times I went to the house of God, let me just say this. My mom and daddy both drank and did drugs. Mama had a bunch of boyfriends. Daddy had a bunch of girlfriends. That's the kind of life I grew up in. They was unfaithful to one another. There was a lot of physical violence and verbal violence and different things took place in our home. My mama left my daddy 7 times while I was growing up. She walked off with the 4 kids and left him just because she was the way she was, and he was the way he was. We did not have a Christian home, all right? My mama divorced my daddy 2 different times. She remarried him once and divorced him again. I'm not, you say, man, that's an awful way. Yes, it was, but let me tell you this. When my parents got divorced the first time, and then daddy, every time mama would leave him, he would do a little bit better and straighten up, but he wouldn't turn his life over to the Lord, but he would straighten up enough that he persuaded her to come back to him, and she had come back for a little while, and the same old thing would take place all over again, just unfaithfulness and infidelity and drunkenness. And I'm not belittling my parents. Now, they saw that our basic needs was met. We had clothes to wear and food to eat. We never went without the necessities of life. But I tell you, the drugs and the alcohol and the sin just had a hold of them. They didn't know how to live any other way. Actually, God forgive me if I'm telling this wrong. I don't mean to tell it in the wrong spirit. My mama was just following the example that her mama had set for her. My sister came along and followed the example her grandma and her mom had set for her. My niece came along, and she's living in a tent right now down in Florida with her second child on the way, living in a tent in Florida. And some of them went down there and got her and brought her back and put her in rehab. As soon as she got back out of rehab, she went right back down there and living in that tent. She don't know how to live any other way. And you can't just go up and shake somebody and tell them, say, you know, there's a better life. It takes God's people and God's Word and God's Spirit to open their eyes. But I said all that to say this. You say, how in the world did you get where you're at today? If you had that kind of background, I'm glad you asked. I'll try to give you the short version here. And I'm talking about the pleading of the Holy Spirit. How I got where I'm at today. How I became a child of God. Was my parents divorced once. And Daddy straightened up and decided he wanted Mama to come back, bring the four kids back. And so they thought, well, we'll get remarried. And I remember what they said, we'd like to get remarried for the sake of the children, our four children. They need a mama and a daddy. They had better sense than a lot of folk today, didn't they? And they need a mama and a daddy. We need to get remarried. And then let me say, I'm glad they decided to get remarried, but that was not the right reason to get remarried. But anyway, I'm glad they did. Well, anyway, they went to all the preachers in town and said, look, you know, we used to be married to one another and we divorced. Now we want to get married again. And all the preachers scoffed them and mocked them and said, no way, Jose, I'm not becoming a part of that. You see, we lived in a very small town, probably smaller than this town you live in. We ain't even got a Walmart in my hometown. Hey, man, that's how small it is. We do got $15 generals in our county, though. We didn't always have them, though. But anyway, we live in a small town. Everybody knew about my mama and my daddy and their lifestyle and their unfaithfulness to each other and their drinking problem, their drug problem. And everybody knew about that, including all the preachers in town. And none of them wanted to have a part in bringing my mom and daddy back together because they all said the same thing. This makes how many times y'all have been separated? And you want us to remarry? No way. It'll just be the same thing unless you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless there's a change take place, it'll be the same thing all over again. Well, they decided to go talk to the judge downtown to the courthouse. They went down to the courthouse. He had about the same attitude. He said, I don't want to put my signature on y'all's marriage license. The life y'all have lived and how y'all have done, you're just going to do the same thing again. And he said, me putting my signature on the paper, he said, ain't going to make no difference. And they kind of begged him, and I don't know what all went on, but they begged him to do it. And he finally said this. He said, J.R. Sharon, I'll tell you what. If y'all will go get X amount of hours of marriage counseling, bring me the paper that says that you got that marriage counseling, and you proved that you did that. He said, I'll consider marrying y'all back to one another. And the man in town qualified to do that counseling was an old-fashioned Baptist deacon at a local church there in town. He was the one that had the qualification to give that counseling. And I don't know how many counseling sessions my mom and daddy attended or how many hours they took, but I know this, that deacon, he didn't care. Amen. He was just full of God, and he put his finger in my daddy's face and said, J.R., let me tell you what'll help you more than anything. It'll help your home. It'll help your marriage. And this is what you need to do. He said, you need to remarry Sharon and, you know, get the certificate. And don't wait another week. The very next Sunday, you need to get them kids out of bed, bring them to the table, get them some breakfast, put some clothes on. And all y'all need to be at the house of God sitting on the pew as a family. And he said, that's what you need to do. And somehow that shook my daddy up. And you know what daddy did? He remarried mama, and we went to church the next Sunday. And we didn't know what church was like. We hadn't been to church. We didn't know how to act and all that. And that church we went to, it had a I don't give a rip man of God up there that prayed and got with God and said, God, there's some people on the way to hell. And there's some people. He prayed and got a hold of God and had the power of God on him, opened up that Bible and preached without fear and without favor. And he just preached under the power of God. Never heard nothing like it in all my life. You know, that deacon must have put some real fear in my daddy. We went back Sunday night, and we went back Wednesday night, and we went back the next Sunday. Now, my daddy never gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. My mama never gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. But guess what happened? Somebody came down to that church pew where our family was sitting. Oh, yes. I didn't know who it was then. But he began to talk to me. It wasn't the preacher and it wasn't the deacon. And matter of fact, I never did even see who it was. I couldn't find the body to go along with the voice that was talking to me. You say, what? Yeah. You say, you mean somebody spoke to you in an audible voice? Audible voice, what are you talking about? It was louder than that. It was louder than that. Well, what did he say to you? Said, you're going to hell if you don't get saved. You're the one that preacher's been preaching to. And you better not put it off unless you give your heart to Jesus. He was just inviting me to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I didn't know it then. I'd always been taught that ghosts was bad things. I never heard of no good ghosts back then. I thought all ghosts was bad. But that was the Holy Ghost, who I had never even heard of before. And I didn't know that's who it was then. But he began to deal with me and invite me to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus meant. Said, He will reprove the world of sin. He'll show sinners that they are sinners. And He'll reprove them and of their sin. And if you look up that word reprove, it means that He will convict them. He will convince them that they are sinners. Another synonym of that, He will persuade them that they're sinners. He persuaded me I was a sinner. He persuaded me I was on my way to hell. What are you talking about? I'm talking about what persuaded me to become a Christian, the pleading of the Holy Spirit of God. Well, I didn't know how to react first time the Holy Spirit dealt with my heart and invited me to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I kept going to church, and every time I went to church, He came too. He was there too. Why? He had to be there. If God's people was there, the Holy Spirit was there. Amen. He came along with them. And when the Word of God was being preached and God's people was there, it gave the Spirit of God much liberty to do things. But oh, He began to deal with me that I was the one the preacher was preaching to. And I was about 10 years old at the time. And that went on for a long time, and I got to where I hated going to church. Oh, I did. What'd you hate going to church for? Well, I mean, I didn't like that voice talking with me, and I didn't like those feelings that I was having. I didn't like that conviction that I was feeling. I didn't like. But you know, it got so bad though, I got to where I was afraid to go to sleep at night. He not only was speaking to me at church, but He went home with me. And He even went to bed with me. And I was afraid to go to sleep because I might wake up dead in hell. I got to where I was afraid to go to school. I was afraid to go out in case I got in some accident. And I was going to go to hell, and I knew it because the Holy Spirit had convinced me of that. What persuaded me to become a Christian? The pleading of the Holy Spirit. And I didn't mean to take time to tell you all them details. If you've been saved, you know exactly who I'm talking about and what I'm talking about. I got to where when I went to church, I always dreaded that last song that they had. I didn't know it was called an invitation and a benediction. I didn't know none of these terms, but I know this. I know this. Man, they're going to sing one more song. I'm going to have that terrible feeling. I'm going to hear that voice when they sing that song. And I thought maybe if I just ducked down in the floor, maybe I can just get away from that voice and hide from it. It didn't work. It didn't work, my friend. I'd shut my songbook and I'd get down behind the pew, and he was there too, and he was still talking and still wooing and still inviting. Well, if you've been saved, it was because the pleading of the Holy Spirit of God. Somehow the Holy Spirit dealt with you and helped you to see that you was a sinner. God used the Word of God and the preacher and the people of God and all these things to work together, and the Holy Spirit of God used the Word of God and the people of God to help me see that I was missing something in my life. Amen. And let me just say this, and I should have just said it like this right here, and I lost my notes here somewhere. I had them here earlier, but that's all right. But let me just say this. I got two or three things here, and I'm not going to preach on these, but the Holy Spirit convicted me, and He called me, and He chose me in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. He did that to every sinner, amen. He's the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Now, He won't save all men because they won't all come to Him, but it ain't His fault. He's chosen every sinner to salvation. You want to talk about election and predestination? Predestination's a term that applies to believers. It has to do with the fact that if you come to Christ for salvation, you're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son.
don't have anything to do with going to heaven or hell. Predestination has to do with God's people being made like the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, anyway, I hadn't got time to get into all that. The Holy Spirit, He convicted me. He called me. He chased me. He caught me. He converted me. And now He comforts me. What persuaded me to become a Christian? The people of God, the preaching of the Word of God, the pleading of the Holy Spirit of God. And then it's been said today in a couple of testimonies, let me just make mention, that place called hell persuaded me to become a Christian. I've heard of a few people in my life that got saved because they heard of the sacrifice that Christ made for them, or they heard of the love that Christ had for them. And I've heard of that, but most people that I know of that are Christians today, they were saved because some preacher preached the Bible truth about the judgment of God and the wrath of God and about the lake of fire and about that place called hell. And I'm one of those. God used His man and His spirit to convince me that what that preacher had... Well, that preacher, he didn't make it up. He just preached out of this Bible that there was a hell that sinners was going to. The Bible said it like this, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's what the Bible said. My name wasn't written in the book of life. Of course, I want to know if whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, then how do you get your name written in the book of life? The preacher told that every time we went to church. He said, you're going to go to hell if you die in your lost condition, but you don't have to go to hell. And Jesus paid your sin debt to keep you out of hell. Now, that wasn't his message. That was just his invitation. He preached all kind of messages from all kind of books on all kind of subjects. But every time at that invitation, he'd say, you know, if you die lost, you're going to go to hell, but you don't have to go to hell. And here's why you don't have to go to hell. And he would tell it again, tell it again, tell it again, that if you're going to go to hell, but you didn't have to go to hell. I'm telling you, friend, I learned through the preaching of the Word of God about the certainty of hell, about the crowds in hell, about the conditions in hell, and about the circumstances in hell. And the Lord used that to persuade me to become a Christian. I didn't want to go to hell, amen. And so I became a Christian, and that's just one of the things God used to persuade me to become a Christian. And I don't have any more points, but on what I've been trying to talk to you about, I'd like to give you a couple of challenges right here in closing this morning, this afternoon. I'd like to give you a couple of challenges, and I don't want you talking to me and answering me. I want you to think about it in your own heart. If you can't help it, now sometimes you get the I can't help it, and that'll be all right. If you can't help it, go ahead and answer me. But I want to ask you this, and I want you to ask yourself, I've been talking to you about what persuaded me to become a Christian. And my challenge is this. Have you been persuaded to become a Christian yourself? Have you been persuaded to turn from your sin and turn to the Savior? Have you been persuaded to repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, I read about a man in the Word of God. In Luke chapter 16, I read about a man there who died, and in hell he lift up his eyes. And he was in misery and torment. It's been mentioned he still begs for just one little drop of water to cool his tongue. He said, I'm tormented in this flame. And they said, you know, you had your chance for comfort and goodness and ease. And I'm paraphrasing, thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise lads receive the things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And then he said, well, would somebody please go back to my daddy's house and tell my five brothers about the awfulness of this place? I don't want them to suffer what I'm suffering. I don't want them to come to this place. Could somebody please go tell them about this place and warn them? And you know how it went there. The Bible put it in these words right here. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Listen to these words. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. If the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the people of God don't convince them and persuade them, Nothing will persuade them. They wouldn't be persuaded if a miracle took place. If he wanted Lazarus to rise from the dead, go back and tell his brothers. If Lazarus rose from the dead, his brothers, nobody else would have been saved. It took the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't it? But neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Have you been persuaded to become a Christian? And if you have been persuaded to become a Christian, then I ask you this. Are you doing anything to persuade other people to become a Christian? And going back to the people of God is one of the things God uses. And it just makes sense. If God used some of His people to persuade me to become a Christian, persuade you to become a Christian, if it was one person or many people, but if God uses His people as an avenue to plant seeds or water seeds, well, I'm one of God's people. He used other of His people in my life. I want to be one of His people that He uses in somebody else's life. Amen. I want to be one of them that is just used of God to touch somebody else's life. Boy, I'd like for the Spirit of God to use me and the Word of God, work all these things together to help some sinner get their eyes open to the need that they need to be saved. You say, what about Saul of Tarsus? Well, he was there at Stephen's death. He saw the glory of God come upon Stephen. He saw the face of Stephen shine like that of an angel. He saw Stephen go to be with the Lord. He never got away from that, and I don't know how many days transpired, but that was Acts 7, Acts chapter 8. Saul of Tarsus got a little meaner and a little madder and a little badder, but Acts chapter 9, he got saved. Amen. I bet he never did forget, and he probably still hadn't forgot witnessing Stephen's home going there. Witnessing Stephen. The Bible was specific to say that Stephen went to sleep, and the last thing he said was, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Are you persuading others? Are you trying to persuade others to become a Christian? Have you been persuaded? Are you trying to persuade others? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 9 and 10, the Bible said, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Are you trying to persuade others? And I'm trying to find a couple of notes right here right quickly. Let me ask you this right here. Don't answer me, but think about it. Do you love sinners? Do you care if sinners go to hell? If you love sinners, are you praying for anyone that's not saved that you know of? Have you in your Bible or in your mind or in your heart or at your desk at home or at your table or at your... Have you got a list made of people that you know that's lost and you have their names wrote down so that you can look at it and pray? I'm so glad somebody had my name on their list and they wept over me and they called that name out to God and said, Lord, he's going to go to hell if you don't save him and do something. That spoke volumes to God. That caused God to move with His Word, with His Spirit. Are you calling any sinners' names out to God in prayer? Are you weeping over their unbelief? Have you ever skipped a meal over somebody that you know that's going to go to hell if they don't get saved? Have you ever skipped a meal so you could spend that time in prayer for them? I'm just asking. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. I'm wondering, are you serious about this Christian life? Are you serious about persuading others? If you're not, then you don't really understand the fact of the judgment seat of Christ that I just read about. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Do you ever pass out gospel tracts? Do you ever invite unbelievers to your church services? Have you been persuaded to become a Christian? And are you trying to do something to persuade others? I'm done. We appreciate you listening tonight, this afternoon. If you're not saved, why don't you come call on the Lord today? It'd be a wonderful day to become a child of God. And if you are saved, are you the Christian that you ought to be? Are you trying to persuade others? Are you letting God use you like He used others in your life? Will you let Him use you to persuade others to come to Him? Let's stand together. Have the invitation if you need to come. Let us pray with you and pray for you. But if you don't come to the altar, please do business with the Lord in your heart. Will you do it?